Is this the Owens residence? I'm Mr. Belvedere.
Hey guys, happy Halloween. This is Angela Bowen, the host of Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere, a Mr. Belvedere podcast. Let's kick off the spooky holiday with Season 3, Episode 5, Halloween, which aired on October 31st, 1985. I would have been three. In this episode, Heather wants to wear a revealing maid's outfit as her costume, and poor Mr. Belvedere is feeling depressed after having cataract surgery on his left eye, and the happy guys invite George to become a member. Now, I'm going through this episode a little differently. I'm going by plot and the character, basically. The main focus is going to be on Wesley and Mr. Belvedere, since they take up the majority of the episode. And then you have your little side plots with Heather and Kevin and the Halloween party. And then George and Marcia at his happy guys members initiation thing, which those things I saved for the end, but I didn't go into them in full detail because they're there, they're gone, and it's over. All right, let's start with good old Wesley, since he's in the cold open. He comes in through the door in the kitchen, carrying a black trash bag. He turns to Mr. Belvedere, who's busy fixing dinner, and asks if he thinks the bag is big enough. He tells Wesley, "Yes, that should be big enough for you." Wesley corrects him by saying how it's for all the candy people are going to give him. Mr. Belvedere asks, "Guys, I'm sorry that I have a little indigestion here. I'm drinking pop." I just bumped the microphone. I'm sorry. Mr. Belvedere asks why they do that, and Wesley tells him because Friday is Halloween. Actually, today is Tuesday and it's Halloween. And mentions how if they don't give him candy, he's going to terrorize them. And Mr. Belvedere says, "Well, that's no different than any other day." Wesley dips a finger into the cookie batter, so I guess he's making cookies, not dinner, sticks it in his mouth and gags, telling Mr. Belvedere, "It's spicy." And Mr. Belvedere tells him that he just put in cinnamon. Wesley picks up the bottle and he tells him, "This is actually cayenne pepper." Mr. Belvedere picks it up, sees he made a mistake, puts it off. Basically, he laughs it off like, well, he meant to do that. And Wesley tells him, "I think you need glasses." And Mr. Belvedere tells him he does not. His eyes are just tired from looking at people like him all day long. Wesley, not believing him, turns and leaves the kitchen. Still concerned over Mr. Belvedere's eye problems, he tells Mr. Belvedere he has to sign a permission slip to the school since his parents had already left for the happy guys meeting. Mr. Belvedere goes to sign, and Wesley asks, "Well, don't you want to read it first?" Because he can see Mr. Belvedere is really squinting at the paper and, like, holding it really close to his face. Mr. Belvedere shrugs it off, saying, "It'll be fine." Signs the paper, then hands it back to Wesley, telling him not to freak out the rhino like he did last time. What the hell did he do that rhino? Oh my god! Wesley tells him the paper wasn't a permission slip to the zoo. Instead, he signed a paper to be Wesley's slave and to do whatever he says, including a visit to the eye doctor. Wesley admits he cares about Mr. Belvedere and wants him to take care of himself. Belvedere seems to get a little choked up at hearing this and tells him he'll make an appointment right then and there. Wesley then tells him, "Good, and then after, you can do my homework." And Belvedere gives him a look like, "Don't push me, boy." Mr. Belvedere tells the family, who's all in the living room, that he came from the doctor and he now has to have cataract surgery. He explains, mainly to Wesley, that the lens of his eye has clouded over and has to be replaced. Wesley looks grossed out, but Mr. Belvedere assures the family that it's a simple and safe operation, and when it's over, he'll see better than ever. That's good that he took the time to explain to the family his conditions so they understand. George has the nerve to ask, "So, when do you go under the knife?" And Belvedere shivers at the idea and tells him, "Well, when you put it that way, never." Jeez, George, you have to be so insensitive. So Belvedere does get the surgery, and when he comes back, he's wearing an eye patch. And Wesley makes a joke asking if his eyeball fell out, and Mr. Belvedere jokes how, no, he's... Guys, hold on a second. I gotta find out what the hell I wrote here. Oh, he joked how he's some guy. I couldn't pronounce it. I'm not sure who it is. And the family, everyone except George, looks at him confused. George gets who Mr. Belvedere is referring to. I never had eye surgery, and I kind of hope I never have to. Hold on a second. I gotta sneeze. Belvedere tells him he'll prepare dinner, but George and Marcia tell him he's on strict orders of bed rest. So George tells the family he's making their dinner. Chili and beans. Aren't those the same thing, almost? I guess Wesley is having a Halloween party for two, as it's just him and his friend Miles, played by Casey Allison, who played Alan Anderson on Punky Brewster. All I can say to that is he's not wearing that gray sweatshirt, and instead his face is adorned with orthodontic headgear, and he's wearing a suit. Wesley, who's dressed like Junior Healy from Problem Child, sporting a devil costume, asks Miles who he's supposed to be, and he tells him, a bureaucrat. Now I had to look up the definition for what a bureaucrat is, and here's what I found. It's an official in a government department, in particular, one perceived as being concerned with procedural correctness at the expense of people's needs. Wesley suggests they bob for apples, and Miles looks at him like, are you fucking nuts? He's wearing headgear. No way can he bob for apples, let alone open his mouth to bite into one with all that metal in front of his mouth. Mr. Belvedere comes in carrying yet another bowl of candy corn to place on the table when Wesley reminds him they already have four untouched bowls taking up space there. Mr. Belvedere asks, well, what happened to everybody? Oh, so there were other kids here. I just thought it was weird to have just Wesley and Miles there and call it a party. Wesley tells him they got bored and left. I'm not surprised. That party looks deader than roadkill that's been run over twice. There's no music, no games, except for what, bobbing for apples? What is this, a Peanuts party? Is Lucy gonna bitch about Snoopy popping out of the water, holding on to the same apple she is, and her needing disinfectant and iodine to wash her lips off? Mr. Belvedere goes to excuse himself and retire upstairs for the night, but Wesley cuts him off and complains how he didn't make any good food or play any games or make fun of Miles, who now thinks Mr. Belvedere doesn't like him. I want to play this clip where Wesley convinces Mr. Belvedere to go trick-or-treating with them, and he does insult Miles, who cheers up immediately.
Oh, Mr. Belvedere, mm-hmm. You gotta sign this.
What's this?
It's a permission slip for my class trip to the zoo today. Mom or Dad were supposed to sign it, but they left.
Very well.
You should read it first.
Well, I'm sure it's fine. All right, Wesley. Have a good outing. And try not to panic the rhino like you did last time.
I'm not going to the zoo.
What?
You just signed a note saying you agree to be my slave forever and do whatever I say. And that means you have to go to the eye doctor, so there.
Very clever, Miss.
I didn't want to trick you, but I care about you and I want you to take care of yourself.
Thank you. You're quite right. I'll call and make an appointment right now.
Fine. Then you can do my homework.
Great party.
So you want to do something else, or you bob for apples?
Real funny.
What are you supposed to be again?
A bureaucrat.
Everyone ready for some more candy corn?
We've already got four bowls of it.
Oh. What happened to everyone?
They all got bored and left.
Fine. Then I'll be upstairs.
What's the matter, Mr. Belvedere? You didn't make any good stuff to eat. You wouldn't play games. You didn't even say anything snotty to Miles, and now I think you don't like him.
Sorry.
Let's go trick-or-treating.
No.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Oh, yes. I'm sure it'll be lots of fun walking about in the cool night air, watching you get cavities door to door.
I knew you'd change your mind. I'll go get your coat.
Are you coming too, Metal Mouth?
Thanks!
Oh, I just want to let you know that I played the clip of Wesley having Mr. Belvedere sign that permission slip, which actually is just a contract to have him make an appointment to go to the doctor. I thought that was kind of funny, so like, I want to play that. And then after that, the clip of the party sans two people. I have that playing after that one, so that's funny. I like that. So Belvedere goes to. Oh wait, I already said that. Blah. I am all over the place, guys. I'm sorry. I stayed up till like 3:30. I finished the final episode of season 2 of Stranger Things, and I woke up at like 11 o'clock. So I'm still a little tired because it took me a while to get back to be able to get to sleep last night. But anyway, they stop at this house where Wesley keeps ringing the doorbell until Mr. Belvedere convinces him to stop because there's no one home. Wesley tells him the house belongs to the Jenners, who hate Halloween and says they never give out candy because they're jerks. Miles tells him how the year before they turned the sprinklers on them and his mouth almost rusted over. Mr. Belvedere tells him, no, let's go home. Wesley points out how, hey, if we don't get treated, they get tricked. Miles suggests they soap the windows, and then Wesley says, let's shove their microwave dish into the pool. What the hell is he talking about? Is that slang for satellite dish? Mr. Belvedere jokes, why not burn down their house and steal their woman? Yikes. Mr. Belvedere tells him, no, we're going home. And Wesley complains, come on, at least let us teepee the place. The boys create a monster out of Mr. Belvedere, who chucks the roll of toilet paper and claps into light as the roll of toilet paper wraps around the branches of a tree. So we see Wesley's at home, minus Mr. Belvedere, sitting on the couch when his parents come home. They ask how his party went, and he tells them, fine. When they ask, where's Mr. Belvedere? He tells them, well, the last time I saw him, he was on the Jenner's roof, wrapping their satellite dish in toilet paper. He tells them that Mr. Belvedere took him and Miles trick-or-treating. They called Mr. Belvedere an old poop, and he went nuts and started going on a spree of teepee throwing toilet paper all over the place. Wesley and Miles booked it when they heard the sirens. Then he turns to George and says, see, Dad, just like you taught me. George just smiles and chuckles, patting Wesley on the back, saying, good thinking, buddy. Then the doorbell rings, and it's Mr. Belvedere being brought in by a policeman. I want to play this clip because I thought it was funny. Mr. Belvedere is now sporting a cardboard pirate's hat. Where did he get that? To complete the look along with his eye patch. So I will be right back.
Come on, Mr. Belvedere, just one more block.
One more block and we'll be in New Jersey. This is absolutely the last house.
Boy, hardly anybody's come to the door tonight.
That's your fault. You look like an insurance salesman. Wesley, there's obviously no one there.
Yes, there is. These are the Jenners. They hate Halloween.
Last year, they turned the hose on me. My whole mouth almost rusted out.
Come on, we've got to trick them.
Yeah.
Wesley.
If we don't get treated, they get tricked.
Hey, I know. Let's soak the windows.
No, better. Let's push their microwave dish into the pool.
Why not burn down their house and steal their women? Wesley, we're not going to do anything except go home. Come on, let's go.
Oh, come on. At least let us TP the place.
What's that?
TP, you know. Take a roll of toilet paper, throw it up into the trees and stuff. Looks real neat. Nobody gets hurt.
Well, it's a pity we don't have any.
Mr. Belvedere.
No, Wesley.
Oh, come on, Mr. Belvedere. What about all those pranks you said you did when you went to school at Eton? Like putting tadpoles in the headmaster's tea.
That was different.
Yeah, it was different because you still knew how to have fun before you started feeling sorry for yourself and turning into an old poop.
What did you call me?
An old poop. Something wrong with your ears, too?
Give me that. I would have preferred pastels.
Hi, Mom. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Wes.
Hey, pal. You a happy guy now?
I'm afraid not, pal. You were a little too far out for your old pop. But you'd fit right in.
How was your party?
It was okay.
Where's Mr. Belvedere?
Oh, he's around.
What do you mean? Where is he?
Well, last time I saw him, he was up on the Jenner's roof, wrapping their TV antenna in toilet paper.
What are you talking about?
He took me and Miles trick-or-treating, and I got mad at him and called him an old poop, and he kind of went a little crazy. Anyway, as soon as I heard the sirens, I got the heck out of there, just like Dad always told me, right, Dad?
Good thinking, buddy.
Come on. This belong to you?
Mr. Belvedere.
Hello, Mrs. Owens. This is Officer Shelton. And that's not a costume he's wearing.
Problem, officer? We got a call reporting a rather large child running amok through the neighborhood. I found him over on Maple piling up a bunch of garbage cans.
I was recreating Stonehenge.
Well, thank you for bringing him back, officer.
Yeah, we'll see to it that Dennis the Menace behaves.
Okay, folks. Good night.
Good night.
Like the hat.
Mr. Belvedere, are you all right?
I suppose so, for someone who's been spending the last 2 hours behaving like a moronic 10-year-old.
I'm sorry, Mr. Belvedere. I guess this is all my fault.
Yes, it was. And in case I forgot to say it, thank you.
Guys, real quick, I want to play a clip of Heather coming back from the party and explaining what happened and why she's not wearing her slutty French maid's outfit. So, I'll be right back.
I'm back!
Heather, is that you?
What
are you doing in your brother's armor?
Well, it was my first real dance, and I wanted to look sexy, so I wore that outfit you didn't want me to wear.
Oh, Heather.
But when I got there, all these seniors wouldn't leave me alone, so I made Kevin give me his costume.
So what's he wearing?
Remember, you owe me one.
The police officer says they got calls about a rather large kid running around the neighborhood, and when they found him, he was stacking trash cans, and then he tells them, when he got caught, that he was recreating Stonehenge. Wesley apologizes to Mr. Belvedere for dragging him around the neighborhood, and Mr. Belvedere actually thanks him for getting him out of the house. That's pretty much it for the main plot. The two side plots, of course, involving Heather and Kevin with their Halloween costumes. I just played that clip. And then George and Marcia at the Happy Guys Club initiation wrapped up pretty quickly. It was just really blah. It really was. I think he, like, takes Marcia and gets the hell out of there when it turns into some weird satanic cult thing with everyone wearing cloaks and doing weird shit. Kevin takes Heather to a Halloween party thrown by other seniors. Heather wears her sexy French maid outfit after her parents forbid her, and then at the end of the episode comes home wearing Kevin's knight armor. She explains to her parents when they got there, all the seniors were pawing at her and wouldn't leave her alone. So we see Kevin waltz in the house in her maid outfit. How the hell would that fit him? George and Marcia go to the Happy Guys meeting for George's initiation and turns into some weird cloak-wearing cult meeting. Lucy Lee Flippin from Little House on the Prairie, who played Eliza Jane, makes an appearance as one of them, like, head members, like, one of the guy's wives. And then she makes this gay joke about how, oh, my husband and his friend here hang out all the time. You'd think they were in love. Like, what the fuck? Okay? Weirdo? That's the end of the episode. I'm giving this episode 3 out of 5 teacups. One for Wesley, concerned about Mr. Belvedere's health, has him sign an agreement to be a slave so that he'll get his eyes checked out. What a good kid there. 2 for Wesley and Miles, convincing Mr. Belvedere to take them trick-or-treating with them. And 3, Mr. Belvedere having a dark side when he gets a feel for teepee in the house of the people that wouldn't give them treats. And then he goes on a wild streak with the trash cans around the neighborhood before getting caught by the police. I knocked off 2 because the other subplots with Heather and Kevin and George and Marcia were boring and didn't amount to anything. So, for Mr. Belvedere's biscuit bites, Halloween comes once a year. Enjoy it, but don't go cray-cray. Let's hear what Mr. Belvedere has to say about this episode as he writes his nightly journal entry. And with that, you guys have a wonderful Halloween. Please, please, please be safe. And I will see you soon as we begin to wrap up season one. So in January, we'll start the special character episodes, which I will explain more later on when I get to them. Okay, bye-bye, guys.
My first American Halloween is behind me now. I've just returned from a pilgrimage around the neighborhood, apologizing for the mischievous actions of my evil twin. As for me, I don't know what body part may go next, but until it does, it's nice to have a rosier outlook on life. It's also nice to be able to read what one's written. Oh, this is good.